Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for tonight is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 25. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Please be seated. I know that my Redeemer lives is a confession of faith, not just the hymn verse that we enjoy singing. But if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain, St. Paul tells us. That is empty. Nothing but a delusion. Those of the flesh alone call faith just that, a delusion, something for the weak-minded. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I believe that, and I confess it. I know that my Redeemer lives. What is more, I confess the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Neither our preaching nor our believing is in vain. God planted his Son on the cross on the hill of skull, known as Calvary or Golgotha. And that dead Jesus was planted in the grave. And on the third day, that crucified Jesus rose from the dead, alive, never to die again. Death has no more dominion over him. His death for us and his resurrection from the dead is the fact that is the eternal destiny of all humanity. It is the fact that divides all humanity. The point of this sermon tonight is simple, and yet that simple testimony is profound. Since Jesus is risen from the dead, the harvesting of God's planting has begun. Jesus, the first fruits of those who believe in him, the full harvest which is yet to come. As surely as the sacrifice was finished and he was buried in his death, so surely the harvest begun. We are that harvest, and we are to be that harvest. Since the fall, the planting was harsh, it was cruel, it was full of tears. Because of our sinful flesh, God's law could not give us life. It could only bring us death. Jesus, God's Son, coming in the likeness of sinful flesh, came for sin. He who knew no sin was condemned by the law for those condemned by the law. But Jesus, in his flesh, condemned sin in his flesh. Bitter tears, groaning, and great agony went into that planting. Suspended between two criminals, one on either side, as he hangs on a cross, Jesus stands between the divide of all humanity. He does not divide the sinner from the non-sinner. He is the divide between condemned sinner and forgiven sinner. He is death and life for sinners. Without him, there remains nothing but wrath and condemnation. Those who do not and will not live in union with him by faith set their mind and their hopes on the self with its countless attempts to escape death. Those who live with him in the union of faith live in grace that delivers us from condemnation to death by the law. even though the condemnation to death is carried in our bodies, for we too are on the way to the grave, he carries us over to life and resurrection from the dead. Indeed, our mortal bodies of death will be raised from the dead by the resurrection. Jesus is the first fruits of them that sleep. Planting is in tears. There are the tears of repentance in union with the cross of Jesus, a union in death made by God's law and the confession of sin, a union made by God's word in the waters of holy baptism. The water of baptism is indeed mixed with the tears of the sorrow of death and the cry of heartbreak. The law of God does indeed break hearts with its condemnation, for that law cannot give life because of our union with sin. In Adam, death came, and we are all dead. Such a death is fearful beyond all measure. We have seen this clearly enough during this time of the pandemic, as we have watched regularly normal, reasonable people become horrified and scared of everything. Please note, despair cannot be counted on to deliver. The friends of Jesus, full of sorrow and groaning, even tears, went to the cemetery to take care of a dead man. And when they arrived, they did not find Jesus dead. They found him alive. Fear seized some of them. Astonishment overwhelmed others. What can be trusted if death cannot be trusted? Right? Life, death, and taxes. Surely we can trust death. And as surely as there is no Easter without Good Friday, so surely it is that Friday is not good without Easter. Those who think Easter is about the Easter bunny and that Easter worship is a social, religious, and emotional sop to God cannot have Easter without Good Friday. But as surely as Jesus is the first fruits of them that sleep, those united with Jesus in a death like his are surely in his harvest gathering. He is the first of the harvest gathered in. What follows is the gathering of the remainder of that harvest. They who sow in tears shall reap in joy, for the harvest is full of life, full of joy. The harvest is gathering to himself those whom God will have and hold in eternal fellowship in his life. By the word and water in baptism, God joins us into union with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That union is cultivated, exercised, and disciplined anew in the word of absolution. It is the union fed by communion with the very body and blood of Christ in the sacrament. The gardener planted good seed indeed. God's own life is in that seed. And the seed was planted in the soil and God's own choosing, watered and nurtured to bring it forth its fruit. The seed was faithful in the will of the Father and in the love for us. That one, so sorrowfully buried in the ground of the grave, has risen from the dead. God's planting flourished in his hand. So surely as the planting has been done, so surely has the harvest begun. The life of Jesus is no mere resuscitation, as if a heavenly rescue squad revived him miraculously for a time, only to have him die again. This new life is after death, and death is done. Your sin and death have been condemned to death by his death. This life, of which he is the first fruits, is not aimed at death, just as you are not destined for death. This new life is aimed at the resurrection from the dead. This is most certainly true. These bodies of our laden with death will be called forth from the grave in the harvest in which Jesus' resurrection is the first fruits. Life, especially eternal life, is like that. It organizes itself in the presence of destructive forces. It feeds itself for growth. It multiplies itself. The Holy Church is made holy by the Holy Spirit, by communing us with the holy grace of baptism and absolution and the Holy Supper. The forgiveness of our sins, the resurrection of our body, and the life everlasting, as we love to confess. That life of Jesus' resurrection is the life in the Holy Spirit that hears and lives on the gospel preached. Neither the preaching nor the believing as in vain. Both the preaching and the believing are filled with the Holy Spirit who brings Christ to us and makes Him ours. Life in the Spirit is the life of faith. Life in union with Jesus, risen from the dead. The first fruits of them that sleep. Even while that life of faith is hidden in the darkness, as it is surrounded by death and the weakness of this sinful flesh, nevertheless it lives in hope. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead gives life now in faith. That same Spirit will give life to our mortal bodies. Christ, the seed planted for us in the cross and grave, is the Word of God planted in us by the Spirit. From the sorrow of the tomb, joy exploded into life. For in Jesus' death and resurrection, life is put back together rightly. The righteousness Jesus gives has been given. It is a future crown because it is a past fact. To set our mind on the gospel of salvation is then not in vain. It is not an empty wind, an idle word of self-hypnosis. Its content is Jesus, the first fruits of the harvest being gathered. Its power is the Spirit of life who raised Jesus from the dead and will give the harvest of life to our bodies that are dying. This gospel is the hard fact that lies behind us and that waits for us. The hard rock, harder than a diamond, on which we build and for which we wait. Set your mind on the Spirit and His work. That is, hold on to this gospel in your hearts in faith. That means first, listen to the gospel preached to you. The good news that is the fulfillment of all the promises of Scripture, made and sustained in truth for us, and now given their confirmation, their amen in Jesus, the first fruits of this harvest. That good news is about the favor of God that God has towards us in Christ, His pleasure in us through the planting of His Son for us. God's mighty pleasure lives in the fullness in the body of Jesus and is focused on us. He turns His face to shine on you with the light that bursts forth from the dark of the deadly tomb. That grace of God is our surety before God and the death of the law. That grace is the freedom of God for us. We may indeed trust Him. That grace is the energy of God that produces in us the full harvest, indeed to make us His harvest, His planting, which He is nurturing and cultivating at full ripeness. Use that grace of God. Confirmed will toward you to work in your work the things God has prepared for you to do. Use that grace against sin. Paul remembered how he had killed Christians, persecuted the church, God's beloved bride, and use that grace of God to be productive in the ways others could not accomplish. use that grace of God against your sin. Even when you feel like the seed that is buried deep in the dark earth, dumped on with fertilizer, drenched with waters of tears and other forms of irrigation, maybe even trampled on by others as a path for walking. Use that grace. Do not presume on it, but cherish it. Hold it. Sing it. Say it. And listen to it said to you. Not only is it so that God will gather his harvest. Already he has taken in the first fruits, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified and risen from the dead. We are the harvest he wills to gather and is gathering even now. We who have been planted with Jesus in a death like his will be raised in a resurrection like his. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.